Okay, fair enough. Okay, shall we make a start, everybody? We've got quite a big agenda in front of us today. So firstly, can we have a roll call as to who's present on the call and also who has apologised?
Sure. We have Keith Davidson, Eberhard Lisser, Patricia Poblessa, Nadia Roberts, Suzanne Sen. And for staff, we have Bart Boswinkel, Kim Davies, Christina Nordstrom, Gabriela Schittek, and Bernie Turcotte. And we have apologies from Martin Boyle, Paulus Miranda, and Slobodan Markovic.
And
Philip Samich has also asked to be apologized.
Yeah, I've just received Bill Semich's apologies by Skype. And I note that Jaap Akkerhuis is on Adobe Connect, but maybe isn't on the voice call yet.
Hello, who joined?
Hi, this is Jaap.
Hello, Jaap.
Hello.
Okay, so I think the first item on the agenda is to review the meeting report from the last meeting, and just a note that I think the apologies didn't include Chris Despain and Martin Boyle, who did file apologies for the last meeting.
We did include Martin Boyle, but I don't have Chris Despain.
Yes.
And I also sent in apologies.
Oh, that's right, you did too. So could we amend those that report, please, Bernie, to include Chris and Eberhard as apologies. And Bernie, I'm guessing you currently have control of the Adobe Connect. Can you just scroll through those that report from the last meeting so everyone can have a quick review of the content?
Yes, sir. So the minutes of the previous one were approved. Report on the open consultation. There were a few issues I needed to go through. I needed to correct the information on the .yu retirement. And Kim confirmed that there was no further public information on the redelegation of .tr. The final report available for the September 30th meeting, we can look at it today, except for the correction of .yu, not much has changed. BB Bart noted that per ICANN requirements, staff will have to post a consultation, which should be done the week of September 20th. That report was sent around yesterday. Late. We're sorry about that, but there's really no new information in there. It's just repackaging to close off the consultation. Keith noted that while in Vilnius for the conference, I see I still have my notes there. and complimentary on the public consultation. So that's section 3, if we're all good with that. Okay.
That was the Internet Governance Forum in Vilnius, just by the way, Bernie.
Ah, IGF. Okay, I'll take a note.
Cheers.
So basically on the attendance, I have regrets from Al and Chris Despain to correct, and it's the Vilnius IGF.
Yep.
Okay. Any other questions on item 3, or corrections, I should say?
Item 2.
Pardon me, Al?
Can you scroll back a little bit?
Yes, sir. Is that adequate?
Yeah.
OK, Okay. Is everybody happy that that's an accurate report from the last meeting?
I have a nit to pick. I don't think .pr was a redelegation, but I mean, I don't know how to describe it.
I think that's why Bernice referred to it as an administrative redelegation, because it was a...
It wasn't a redelegation. They just changed the company. The manager just changed the company's form from a non-profit to a profit.
Perhaps it might be better noted as an administrative contact reassignment.
Actually, the administrative contact remained, the admin contact actually remained the same.
Okay.
Yes, it's the Gauss Laboratory. It used to be a NGO, and now they formed the same entity is now switched into a commercial entity. That can happen in Namibia with my company as well, as I have to change the form. I don't know how to describe this.
Yes,
but it's not a redelegation, because it did not involve any change.
Okay, you're right. I think we should have
I think a bit more to it than that.
Well, I believe the way it's described is Gauss Laboratories did not to exist in the university. A new entity, that was Gauss Laboratories Inc., was created, and the administration was switched over to that as part of the ongoing discussion about that .pr.
I think, yes, Eberhard's absolutely right, though. Using the word redelegation in that sense is not correct, and we probably need a better word like reassignment. Nigel, you have your hand up.
I do indeed have my hand up. I just wanted to point something out about, can we scroll down to 4.3 or something like that?
Can't you finish one item at a time, please?
Yeah.
Well, I have my hand up, waiting for this item to finish.
Okay, well, we're going to try and finish item 3 and then move on to 4.
Yeah, I think that would be appropriate. And Kim, you had your hand up, and I guess that's to address this item.
Yes. So with respect to .pr, I think it's fairly characterized. It is a different legal entity to the one that previously operated it. However, what we call an administrative redelegation is when it transfers from one entity to another, but we don't deem it a substantive change. You know, as Eberhard noted, it's the same operator, it's the same people involved, and so forth. So it is a redelegation in a sense, but we deem it non-substantive. That's all I wanted to say.
Why don't we call it that?
A non-substantive redelegation? That sounds a bit vague. What about putting administrative redelegation in inverted commas, just to highlight that it wasn't a normal...
I think the problem is nobody will know what it means. It was a term of art we're coining on the fly.
Yeah.
I can just write the changes to .pr if it's that much concern to everyone, and we can move on, because I really don't think this is worth spending 15 minutes arguing about.
Yep.
I agree with that.
No, we're not arguing about it, but it's very important to the people that manage .pr.
Yep. Well, noted for the change. Thanks, Benny. Nigel.
Okay, can we scroll down to, I think it's 4.3, please. Yeah, here we go. 4.3.1. Kim noted that RFC stipulated that only active 3166 can be CCTLDs. I made this point at the time that I don't quite see that in 1591. So there's a great deal of difference between stating that only 3166-1 entries are eligible to be delegated as CCTLDs, and explicitly saying, although you use the word implicitly here, that there is an implicit rule of retirement when you cease to be on that list. I don't think it says anything either way. But as I said, I think this is, at the time, there is room for debate on this between both sides of that argument, and I wouldn't like this just to slip into the document as an implicit rule before we've had that discussion.
Well, this is only recording the outcomes of the last meeting, so...
I know, and I said this at the last meeting, and my comments aren't noted.
Okay.
That's my point.
Okay, thank you. Okay, nothing else in terms of the last meeting reports. So it will be amended and recirculated for the next meeting for final approval. Thank you for your input. Nigel, I assume you just haven't taken your hand down yet.
I just haven't taken my hand down yet.
Okay.
Patricio here, can you hear me?
Yeah, Patricio.
No, I cannot hear you very good.
Probably with my mic, but anyway, if it's not too late, I wanted to say one thing about the .vr thing, which is the following. I think we should call it whatever IANA calls it. If IANA calls it an administrative redelegation, that's what we should call it. But making sure that we do say that we are just saying or taking note of what IANA says, because we do not have any information to make any decision. We ourselves do not know whether it was just a minor extension or a super one. IANA knows, but that information isn't public for us.
Sure.
That would put us in a situation that we have to address to investigate the redelegation. It's not a redelegation. So we must call it something that makes clear that it is not a redelegation, so we don't need to look at it.
I think probably we need a footnote just to explain what exactly is meant by an administrative redelegation for the purposes of clarity. But I think leave that for Bernie and I to worry about, and we'll make it right and recheck the report next week.
Fine.
Okay, moving along, we're now going through the second round of looking at the documents that is primarily for the benefit of people who didn't make last week's call. So we have the reports on the open consultations. We circulated a spreadsheet and then a slightly more substantive document on all the submissions received. And Christina, if we could have the little spreadsheet document first, which just provides a summary. And Bernie, if you'd like to talk us through this. Gosh, it's quite small, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to try and see if I can... Aha, okay. So as we've stated, there were a limited number of comments. There was one spam. The spreadsheet is sort of just a factual summary. The first comment received was from M. Tasek, part of the YU administration team, commenting. Sorry about that. Okay, and they wanted us to look at the .yu submission had made to the board for the extension of the retirement. Kim Davies has posted a number of notes on this regarding this to the list, and I don't have anything more on that. E. Diaz did answer some of the questions. Most of the points were about the .pr minister delegation. And I think...
Sorry,
someone's typing with their mic open.
Yeah, could everyone who's not talking please mute?
Okay. We should note that a version of this will be used for the public response to close off the public consultation. After that, so that was, there were two postings from Diaz. After that, there were three postings by Demchenko, again relating to the .yu and replying to the various questions. Now I'm just scrolling through those. After that, there was a posting from Calvo, which basically just said they liked the document and didn't really answer any questions. The final reply was from Brunner Williams. that was extensive. He answered the questions. I guess there were some things he didn't like. There were some things he liked in replying to the questions. The core of the discussion was around the applicability of the Geneva Convention during war, delegation of domains. Which we'll go over in the full report. There was a question about the .IQ redelegation, the .PN redelegation, and the .SH delegation or non-delegation. Of course, .SH is St. Helena and is delegated, so one would think that that was a spelling mistake and that really he was referring to .h, which has not been delegated, and that's about it. So in the report itself we'll go over the comments and various things, but this is just the summary of what was said. I don't know if there are questions on the summary. Keith, if you're okay, we'll move on to the next document.
Yes, please. Document 3, please, Christina.
Okay, so this is the report. Talks about 9 submissions by 6 individuals. One was spam, so we're left with 8 submissions by 5 individuals, as the spreadsheet noted. We've sort of dissected a bit the work of, or the submission of TASIC, and basically it makes some points on the transparency of IANA and content of IANA reports, including manager input. So we've got some comments that we could think about in here. I should note that this report is the internal report for the DR. The working group is not to be published. This is just what we could consider when we get to the various points. So nothing much has changed in section 311 from last week. And in 312, we've got some relationship to 3114. In Diaz, we talk about the situation. I have used and the term administrative change is basically what we discussed. Okay, I think this is the old version of the report. I thought I sent an updated one. Anyways, in there, Kim has confirmed that there is no more public information on this. On replies 4, 6, and 7 from Dmytchenko, biggest point was he would like to see the impact of the GAC principles on ICANN and IANA for the retirement of CCTLDs and redelegations. Reply 5, Calvo, there was no point to be addressed. Reply 8 from Bruno Williams, the applicability of the Geneva Convention, I would suggest that that's beyond the scope of the working group, since we said we would consider things that are ICANN and not rules outside of that. The .pn redelegation, we've had discussions about this online and offline and by email and various things. At the end of the day, I'm uncertain what more it could bring. As Nigel has said, who was involved in that situation, the administrative contact did eventually give permission. So, as far as I'm concerned, it was an approved redelegation, a sad story all around it and very complicated, but it was still approved.
Okay. Now, Bernie, can we just hold for a moment? Eberhard's got his hand up.
Okay.
The question about, let's call it consent, because that ties into what I'm professionally involved in, namely informed voluntary consent. I don't want to beat a dead horse to death. This thing is redelegated and finished and far, but I do not agree that this was an approved redelegation. If somebody comes with a Kalashnikov to Nigel's house or to some house in Nigeria and makes somebody make a phone call, that's not consent. Yeah. So we should look generally into what is required. And who is required? Is it the administrative contact? Is it the entity that is the manager? Who is actually required to agree to a change in delegation?
And that may be a point that is of interest. I have no issue in putting a note about that here, if everyone feels I should.
It probably would be appropriate to do so, I think, Bernie.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I will be glad to enter a note that reflects Elle's comments, because as far as I'm concerned, for redelegations, we do have to look at that.
Yep. And I'm not hearing any dissent from or concerning that. So, yes, we'll so please carry on.
Footnotes is good. It's good for me.
No, I think it's more than the footnote. I'll just enter it as a comment right in the PN point in 352.
Yeah, but the point is, even if we cannot all agree on it, if we write a footnote in it that this is an issue that might need to be discussed, that's already good enough for me. If we can write it that we in a different way, it's also fine. My point is that I don't want to have a go at the .pn redelegation. I want to have a go at consent.
Yes, I understand that, and all we're doing here in this report on the public consultation is raising items that we should discuss in the various reports. So I think we're meeting your objective by doing that. Just stating it as a point for consideration by the group in 352 is exactly that. Carries no more weight. It just says that the working group's going to look at that.
Great.
Okay. That was 352. Can we move on to 353, Mr. Chair?
Yes, please.
That was the .IQ, which is Iraq. It was redelegated by IANA. There is an IANA report which states that the technical contact was in jail on terrorism charges in the U.S. There's a lot of grayness when you read this IANA report versus a lot of other stuff. And I've asked him a few questions, and I'm waiting on a reply. He did not have access to the material and said he would try to dig up something so at least I can clarify my interpretation of the report. And I guess Kim is still hunting that down, question mark?
Yes, I am. From what I am able to get my hands on, outreach to the administrative contact didn't result in any response. I don't know the circumstances as to what, drilling down to that, what happened, so I'm still researching.
Thank you, Kim. So
it also ties in with the consent. I particularly would have an issue with saying putting somebody into jail means, and then he can't be reached, would constitute consent. I would have issues with such a statement. Not that I'm alleging it has been made.
I just made the comment that in a delegation or redelegation, I think, you know, it's judgment is applied and there's no hard and fast rule that silence implies consent. And certainly sort of the Kalashnikov scenario you painted out before does happen, and it's definitely a major consideration when we believe that the current operator is being coerced or has contrary opinions to what they're stating formally.
Yep. So if we at least address that particular issue under the consent question, maybe that would help, I think.
I think we've all agreed that we're going to look into that. So
All right.
I don't have an issue. Thank you, Kim. So Iraq, we're still looking at more information, but it is an interesting case. Then there's the question to consider the .sh redelegation, which I believe is a typo. SH is St. Helena, which is delegated. EH is Western Sahara, which is not. So I believe it's the EH case. The minutes of the ICANN board meeting were rather clear. There were two competing applications, and people couldn't agree. So they did what technically RFC 1591 says. They sent it back to the competing proposals and asked them to figure it out amongst themselves. I can put in a note, a personal note on that, in that I believe when we were in Marrakesh, I sat in on a meeting with both parties who had put in separate meetings with both parties that had put in delegation requests for .eh. And it's just really a complicated situation is all I can say. It was clear that there were, it's factual that there are two applications for the delegation of .eh. It's factual that, verified by the meetings I was in, that there is no compromise that is available. And I think as far as I'm concerned, the ICANN board did the right thing and just sent it back and said, when you guys finally figure it out, then we'll be glad to delegate the domain.
Okay, there's a couple of hands up. Firstly, Nigel, then Eberhardt.
Who's coming to you first? I was unmuting my line.
Nigel, you're first.
Thanks. I agree, Bernie, that is exactly what RFC 1591 says, and it's a bit off topic for this group. However, I will remark that RFC 1591 also provides a resolution of that, which is to delegate part of the namespace to one applicant and part of the namespace to another. And the ICANN board didn't consider doing that, which RFC 1591 does provide for. So you could have .1.eh and .2.eh or something like that.
Okay. Thanks, Nigel. And Eberhardt?
The particular point here, and which is of importance to me because I live in a country that was in exactly the same situation before, however, the Internet was delegating this, The UN accepted government of the day is the Frelimo or Polisario, and they have applied. And the colonial illegal colonial government that has no mandate there from the United Nations, as South Africa and Namibia, has applied for the others. I think, however, ICANN is doing the right thing, and I think it's in accordance with RF C1591 to not delegate it unless these parties sort it out among themselves. I don't think it is possible to delegate it, especially in this volatile situation, to two separate namespaces. So I feel that this is actually a very good point to say that in line with RFC 1591, IANA will only act if the two parties can agree on something.
I think the issue here is this of significance to this, or in any way uncovered or not covered elsewhere in the discussions we've had. And I think Bernie's right that this is not of any particular significance to the working group. I think ICANN made a decision based on it's too hard, sort it out yourselves and come back, and that's not an inappropriate decision. Nigel, have you re-raised your hand?
I have re-raised my hand. I just want to make a final comment on this issue. The stance taken by the ICANN board is entirely in accordance with how John Postel used to deal with exactly the same situation. Life has moved on a little bit in the fact that it is probably completely unfair on a country to deprive it of its national identity on the internet, even if it's divided into two parts, because the country is actually divided into two parts. And this is not really for us to debate. It's not really. It's perhaps for a different forum. It's probably for the ICANN board to debate this issue. But I'll say again that my personal view is that we should follow the procedure in 1591 and don't give anybody the TLD, but give each of the contending parties their choice of second-level domain.
Okay, thanks.
Just to add to that, although it's not recorded, it's uncertain if that option has been given to the parties and if they have rejected it. But I, at any rate, I don't think I want to talk this to death. I don't think it's of significant relevance to the work we're doing.
Patricia, you've got your hand up.
Yeah, and I also muted my line. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Well, I agree that perhaps ICANN did the right thing in this particular case, but since we are trying to look into the future and see how things should be done, I believe there is a weakness here in that it basically grants anybody a veto power, because if I say a whole country represented by someone wants to have a domain delegated and I don't like it, even if I don't really represent anyone but myself, I could submit a competing request, and if I'm stubborn enough, I will block the delegation of that TLD.
It's a very interesting point, gaming the system just to be difficult. And I guess that's something that IANA would wrestle with and make some judgment on a case-by-case basis. I don't know if you've got any comment on that, Kim.
Yeah, so I think that the scenario doesn't really play out in most cases. Traditionally, for a delegation or redelegation, you need local internet community support. You need some level of support or non-objection from the government and so forth. Western Sahara is a unique case in that there's two completely separate governments. There's a UN mission there that's been there for several decades that hasn't been able to resolve the dispute to date. We effectively, in the case of .eh, had two governments applying for delegation, both claim to represent the whole country. I don't think that kind of scenario would play out in most countries. You have one well-recognized government representing the whole country, and that's not really an issue.
So there's a possibility of a northwestern Sahara and a southwestern Sahara being additions to the 3166 list in due course, perhaps. Patricio, have you re-raised your hand?
Yes, I have. Yeah, what Kim says is, of course, it makes perfect sense, but what it's saying is that Diana goes beyond the work it out among yourselves and come back to us if you can't agree. Policy, actually, Diana looks deeper into the matter to evaluate the merit of the applications, and that's arguable that it is in the original RFC. So there might be a change in policy taken from that starting point.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're spending quite a bit of time on this point, and I'm not sure that it's an issue that warrants considerable time, but unless there's some overwhelming issue, can we move on?
I'll be glad to exchange with Patricio by email on this to see if we can reach some sort of agreement.
Excellent. Thank you, Bernie. Please carry on, Bernie.
Thank you, sir. So that completes the report to the working group on the public consultation. Unless there are other questions, the rest of the document is actually copies of the replies.
Okay. Patricio, is your hand up again, or did you just fail to take it down? Thank you. Just a note for the record, too, Bernie Eberhardt's asked if he could be kept in on the loop on .eh as well.
I will be glad to include him on that.
Any final questions or comments on the report? If not, can we move along to the draft retirement report? This is
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. While we're on the public consultation, we did send around a document yesterday trying to close off the public consultation. Christina, did we have a chance to include that document in the Adobe Connect?
Which one was it?
The one I sent around to the working group yesterday.
Just a moment.
Yes, called.
Can I, in the meantime, reiterate that we must send these documents out a little bit earlier? Yesterday, I had about an hour time to do this because of my of some emergency operations and about my bookings today. I had to. It's very difficult to do this on such short notice. Especially as far as the things of specific interest to me, I need a few days. But I put this in an email. Can this please be looked at when the time comes?
Sure. We'll try to go back to our 7-day notice period, Eberhardt. You're quite right.
Yep. I think, Eberhardt, just noting that the meeting schedule going forward is pretty much every 2 weeks from here on in, and that should allow for, firstly, more time with the documents, and secondly, probably cuts down on reiteration on the calls. But I'm still adamant that we'll never finalise a document on the basis of a single call, and because of the difficulties of times, we should only treat a document as complete after 2 meetings, and therefore giving everyone the opportunity to have reviewed and had input into the document. So even though this was short notice, it's not an intention to finalise the documents tonight. Okay, is this the document that's up now, Bernie?
I'm going to check that and tell you in a sec. Da-da-da-da. The beginning looks pretty much the same. Yes, that is the document we proposed for the replying, closing down the public consultation. So we'll walk through it quickly. I think given what we've gotten, done up to now should be fairly simple. Having a little trouble with my little hand there, as it were. No, doesn't want to take it down much. Okay. Try that again. Okay. So the beginning is pretty much the same. And then what Bart has done in this document is basically... come on, you're being quite stubborn about this, aren't you?
Bernie, just the question. The version I received in the mail is version 0.1, I think, something like that.
Yes.
And you are displaying is version 1.
We're missing a zero there, I think, is the only thing.
It's not the same.
No? Okay.
I don't know how different it is, but the version I got in the mail, in the text, doesn't say version 1 at the beginning.
It should have been the same version. As I'm looking through it, it looks the same. Maybe the version 1 segment got up, but the rest of the document looks exactly the same. At any rate, I think regardless of the sequencing, it'll be worthwhile going through it because there's really no new information there.
Yeah, the document. Patricia, you might be confused between the retirement report and this report, which is the summary of submissions for publication on the ICANN website as a result of the public submissions period. And this appears to me to be the version that Bernie circulated about 20 years ago to the list. Looks identical to me, and both refer as version 1.
Was referring to what came in the mail on September 28th.
No, this came out on September 30th. According to my time, which could have been 29th, your time.
Okay,
It's a PDF, a single PDF.
Here.
Double-checked, and the document that's in the Adobe Connect is the same document.
Yeah, I found it, thanks. Sorry.
No problem. Are we okay to move ahead, Mr. Chair?
Yes, please, Danny.
Okay, so the organization of this document is basically to look at it on the basis of the questions he asked. So question one, is the methodology developed employed adequate for the purposes of the DRDWG? And then we look at those that replied to that specific question and their answers. Diaz seemed adequate but convoluted. Demchenko, simple but seems adequate. Bruno Williams was not adequate to inform the working group relative to an act of war. What we propose to write on that is the comments are noted by the working group with regard to specific suggestions. See consideration of comments 3, 4, and 7. On question two, we have, did the policy statements identified provide an adequate baseline to evaluate the actual practices of IANA and the ICANN board relative to delegation, redelegation, retirement of CCTLDs? Diaz, yes. However, Demchenko, it's a good analysis. Bruno Williams, the policy statements do provide adequate baseline. Our comment would be, and again, a reminder to the group, this is what will be posted on the ICANN website. The comments are noted by the working group with regard to specific suggestions, see consideration 3, 4, and 7, which is the same as the previous one. Question 3, are there any other policy statements which are applicable to the work of the DRDWG? Should they be included in the baseline? Diaz, see comments on previous question, which was of limited interest. Demchenko, suggestion on the previous question, Bruno Williams, there are other policy statements which are applicable to work of the working groups, specifically those dealing with relationships of civilian infrastructure and the Geneva Convention. Reply to this one, the working group notes the comment, however, it considers policy statements such as the Geneva Convention out of its scope. Question four, does the documentation identified provide an adequate representation of the actual practices of IAM and the ICANN board relative delegation, redelegation, retirement? Diaz thinks .pr should be included. And Bruno Williams, the documentation identified did not provide adequate representation. Delegation, redelegation of .iq, .pn are absent from the report. Our comments would be the working group has and will base its analysis on publicly available documentation, which we've always said. Specific undisclosed documentation has not been taken into consideration. Under the current practices, the correspondence between IANA and the parties involved in either a delegation, redelegation, or retirement process is not on the public record and are therefore not considered by the working group. The suggested cases, the .iq, .pn, and .sh redelegations will be reviewed and analyzed by the working group. Question five, should other cases be included for analysis? Diaz, .pr, Bruner Williams, .iq, .sh, .pn, which we've all talked about. The comment says see consideration of comments, question four. And question six, is there other documentation which should be applicable? Mr. Tasek has included the report from the .yu operator that was sent to ICANN. Diaz is about the .pr, and our answer is the same, see consideration comments under question four. Question seven, was the methodology properly applied to the cases? Diaz, yes. However, in a couple of cases, the example, 244, it says the last sentence is interest to the working group. There should be a definition or clarification as to what this statement means. The working group has and will review the terminology it uses in its reports in order to be as clear as possible. This suggestion will be taken into consideration. And the report closes off. Sorry about that. It doesn't seem to want to go down there. Let me try it one more time. Basically closes off with the affiliation of those people that did reply to the public consultation. It doesn't want to go to the last page. Anyway, the last page is basically just a list of the individuals. Mr. Chair, I'll be glad to take questions.
Are there any questions? Okay, I think this is a new report, and as such we should probably not approve it at this meeting because it hasn't had time for full debate, but I think can we table it for a review again on our next call, and I'll put a message out on the list after this call to urge people to read and comment on it on the list or on the next week's call.
Okay, we'll put that on the agenda for the next call to get an approval and post it.
Thank you. And moving on to item four on the agenda, we've got the revised draft retirement report. We had a first look at on last week's call, and Christina, if you can put up document four, please. And
yeah, it's coming.
I've been talking a bit. I'm just going to go get a glass of water. I'll be back in about 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Can everyone see it as a full screen item?
Yeah.
Excellent. I'm back in a second.
Okay, so hopefully we can finalise this document on today's call. And I think the usefulness in finalising this document will be that it provides us, hopefully, with the robust template for the delegation and redelegation sections yet to come. So it sounds like Bernie's just coming back to his seat.
Yes, sir.
And Bernie, please walk us through it.
With pleasure. So this is a report on the retirement of CCTLDs. This is our second pass at it. As per the long-term agendas we've given ourselves, we will have a third pass at it at the next meeting. So hopefully we'll be able to close it off at that point. This one is fairly straightforward, so I'm hoping we'll meet that deadline. But that is up to everyone on the working group. So let's start going through it. For those that weren't there, we should note that the general format looks at the documentation that is available, does an analysis in the second part, and notes the issues, and in the third part looks at the possible recommendations. We're hoping, as Keith has said, that this model will be applicable to all four reports, that is, retirement, delegation, redelegation, and unapproved redelegation. After today's call, of course, we have made the point that the issue of consent in delegation and unapproved delegation will have to be gone through and understood at least. If that's okay, I'll proceed. Hearing no dissent, moving right along.
So I have a question.
Okay, yes, L.
Did we agree to use News Memo 1 now or what? I was understanding that it was not a document that we were considering very deeply.
I believe what we've said, Al, is that we will not call it policy, but it is a document that is out there and has been used. So I believe that maybe the best thing, if you will allow it, is that we go through the report and you'll see how I've treated it.
Because it's listed here under rules.
Yes, rules, not policy. And as we have discussed, it's not a question of whether News Memo 1 has been referred to and used. I think that's a fact that is historically recorded. The point is, how do we want to consider it? How does this working group want to it going forward?
Nigel has his hand up also.
Yeah, I was just dialing *7. So I'm going to reiterate the point I make. I think this isn't quite as, Bernie, I don't think this quite addresses the point I made a couple of calls ago. I think in one dot heading, you say current rules, processes, procedures, or practices, and then you list RFC 1591, ICP 1, and the GAC principles. And they appear to have equal status, and they appear in 1.1.2 to state that News Memo 1 is an addendum to RFC 1591. I recognize the difficulty. You're looking for a portmanteau term to expressly say documents that may have been used as inputs to redelegation reports in the past or something like that. I'm very concerned that the title Rules, Processes, Procedures or Practices tends to promote, in fact, even RFC 1591 beyond its actual status, and I think we need to be a bit more neutral about it.
I'm open. I really thought we were, or at least I was trying to meet the requirements that we had discussed.
And I'm not suggesting there is any intention to do otherwise. It's just that when I read it, perhaps with a slightly more pedantic and legalistic eye than I used to, and it was bad enough in the old days, that's what I take from it. I would use something along the lines of sources of guidance or something like that that have been used, and not state that they have any kind of, should we say, binding rulemaking position, if you see what I'm trying to get at here.
Yeah, I think I do. I wasn't making a big case of it in this one because there was no reference to the retirement of CCTLDs. I thought...
Sure. I mean, the thing is, this is a general point that applies to all our work, while I'm quibbling about is its particular use in perhaps the document to which it's least controversial.
Well, I mean, I could refer to the whole thing as practices because they certainly are.
I think that's that. But again, they're not practices; they're documents.
Yeah,
the practices are some things that have been taken out of the documents. So,
instead of rules, we could call it applicable documentation.
I think that would be perfect, because or documents that have been utilized or something like that. Yeah.
If everyone's okay with that, I mean, that's what I was trying to capture with the title in 1.1, current rules. But I'm perfectly happy with applicable documentation.
I think that would be appropriate, and I'm not hearing any opposition to that. So, shall we make that amendment to 1.1?
Can I suggest the word relevant rather than applicable?
Uncertain. I'm willing to think about it.
Okay, we can talk offline.
Yes.
Applicable seems to again imply that they're applicable, whereas relevant means they're used
and applied. So, but yes, let's talk offline, Nigel.
Yeah. Okay.
Because at that point it's becoming a semantic discussion. But
exactly.
I can change current rules. I don't have a problem with that. I think applicable documentation, and Nigel and I will have a semantic discussion on applicable versus used or whatever.
Sure. I mean, I'm not objecting to applicable, just the sense in which it's positioned in the sentence.
Okay. So under documentation, we have RFC 1591, does not mention the retirement. One does not mention the retirement. ICP-1 does not mention the retirement, and the GAC Principles 2005 do not mention the retirement of CCTLDs. 1.2, we try and look at current processes or procedures that are documented. I could not find any, so there are no documented processes or procedures relating to the retirement of CCTLDs. Under current practices, 1.3, what we try to look at is what can be inferred from ICANN decisions regarding the removal of CCTLDs from the route over the years. So basically, from last week's discussion, and this is where we can bring back Nigel's point from the public, from the report on the last meeting, I included 1.3.1, RFC 1591, and ICP-1. These documents do not provide any explicit rules or guidance on the retirement of CCTLDs, period. However, it should be noted that the very definition of a CCTLD being on the active ISO 3166 list would implicitly suggest that if a two-letter code is no longer active on this list, that it should be retired. Now, if I remember correctly, our discussion of about 45 minutes ago, Nigel had an issue with that. Nigel?
Yeah, I didn't realize that was an invitation to speak. I was waiting for the other shoe to drop. I think I've said what I wanted to say. I don't think that it actually necessarily does say that, and I think it can't be assumed, and I think it's a discussion we need to have.
Well, I think now getting into it, I think what we're saying, and Kim, please correct me if I'm incorrect in having stated this, this is what Kim has stated is the current interpretation over at IANA. So, you know, I'm not sure our discussion should be in Section 1, probably because if I am correct and Kim states that this is the interpretation of IANA, then Section 1 is about listing facts. And if this is IANA's interpretation, it is IANA's interpretation. I think where we raise the question and have a discussion about it is in Section 2, where we can say we agree with that interpretation or not.
Yeah, can I interrupt at that point?
I was finished.
Oh, okay, well then it's a good point to interrupt. What I would suggest is that it's the phrasing of the inclusion here that I have a problem with. It's stating it from the perspective of the document as saying this is... If you wish to state it is the official IANA position that, then we can state that as a fact and we can have a discussion later in the document. But it's implied that this is almost an incontrovertible fact, and I don't think it's right. I think RFC 1591 and even ICP1 is completely silent on this issue. Now, whether or not it's something that we should take from it, and if so, that it should be retired, we then get into discussing when, as in 50 years according to the ISO, or 5 years, or whatever, that's another discussion. But I don't think, personally, that you can actually take the statement the way it's written. If it's IANA's position, then yeah, we can state that, but I don't think we can state that without further qualification.
Nigel, I am not going to argue with you. I can see it as IANA's interpretation of this because this is how it was presented to the group. Would that be okay?
Yeah, I tend to be a little bit firmer on leaving it as it is. My reasoning is my own review of 1591, where it states the selection of the ISO 3166 list as a basis for country code top-level domain names was made with the knowledge that ISO has a procedure for determining which entities should be and should not be on that list. And I think retirement is covered by should not be on that list. So to me, is
well again, Keith. If I may dispute that directly, and again, I've spent too much time reading statutes of late. It is in the basis of creating a domain name, creating a top level domain, and the list that's used to create a top level domain. ISO has a procedure for deciding what is and is not a country, or etc. etc. There is nothing stated explicitly about whether or not disappearance from the list disqualifies you from staying in the route. Now, I'm not saying it shouldn't. I'm just saying it doesn't.
Yes. Well, I'm not sure whether the principle of deciding what should be or should not be on that list is an issue of only delegation or delegation or deletion, but to me it looked quite clear that it provided a vehicle for IANA to use as a policy principle to say that if something is removed from the list, then it should be removed from the IANA database.
But that's a discussion.
Well, yeah, I guess the point that we get to in summary is that there is nothing clear in the guidelines, and that's why we're recommending, I think, at the end of the document to go through a PDP to clarify this.
Exactly.
I think we get to the right conclusion, so wither argument.
I'm just concerned about not laying down hostages to fortune when we do the PDP, that's all.
Yes, yeah, cool. Okay, Eberhard wanted to say something too.
The point is, I cannot find any reference to in the RFC 1591 to active ISO 3166-1 list.
That's true.
It only says ISO 3166, so we cannot really say that a further refinement that was applied later on is qualifies reverse, you understand what I'm trying to say. We cannot say that this is written in RFC 1591 when it is not really written there.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. It should be noted that the very definition of a CCTLD being on the active ISO 3166 would implicitly suggest... Oh. Yeah, no, that may need some rewording, Bernie.
I still think Nigel's suggestion, just clarifying that this is currently applied as IANA's interpretation, if everyone's willing to live with that, is very workable.
Okay.
Yeah, sure, I can live with that too.
Okay, thank you. Bernie, please continue.
Okay. 1.32, the delegation of .TL. This is new since last week, and I'll go... Why are we talking about the delegation of .TL if this is a retirement report? Well, if you haven't read it, we'll get to it in a minute. This is, of course, for Timor-Leste, but the point is that within the minutes regarding this, there is a mention of what should be happening to the previous version of that domain. Basically, TL was the result of renaming the country. And as we see, what we've got is that we mention in there that the retirement of .TD, so that makes it relevant, which is referred to as a migration from TD to TL, will be the responsibility, TP, and we'll publish a timeline. So, of course, after that decision, I can't find any other public documentation on this case. So the relevance of this is that there seems to be an inferred rule in this case that the current operator in a transition should be charged with establishing a decommissioning of the CCTLD, and as of the date of versus the date of the delegation of the new CCTLD. As of today, I'm not aware of any further information on the decommissioning of .TP, and I have not found any other documentation. Kim, am I correct on that?
That's right. There's no public documentation beyond that.
Okay. So as an inferred practice, this qualifies, I believe, unless there are other questions from the group at this point.
It's just an observation from Eberhard that the typing error, Anne Rochelle's name, surname is I-double-N-E, not I-double-N-I.
That's a cut and paste from the ICANN board minutes, so okay. I'm not changing it.
Okay.
I'll let our webmaster know.
No, just as a point of principle, when I paste, cut and paste board minutes, I don't edit them, even if there are spelling mistakes.
I guess when we do that, we should probably put them in parentheses and italicize them or something to show that they're a cut and paste.
We'll be glad to do that. No problem.
Cheers.
Any other questions?
No. Moving along.
Another little nit on 1322, insert practice on the last line. It says there is not published timeline, where you probably mean there is no published timeline.
That is correct. I'll be glad to fix that. Thank you, Amber.
Yep. Carry on.
Taking my notes for corrections, and I'll be with you in a second, because there are a few in a long meeting like this. All right, 133, the .um undelegation stands as it did last week. I think basically people are familiar with that. The university no longer wanted to be the manager. There were no registrations within the domain. Basically the only inhabitants, I believe, of the outer outlying minor islands are penguins and maybe a few research scientists. And it was basically agreed by the ICANN board from the IANA recommendation that .um be undelegated and available for delegation at a future time should it be required. So again, given the .um domain was taken out of the root, I think it qualifies under our retirement study, and basically the inferred practice is that if code has no registration, the current operator does not wish to continue operating it, ICANN may decide to remove it from the root and place it in undefined status. I'll take questions on this.
There's a question from Nigel. Nigel.
Hi. Hang on. Okay, right. I don't have any issue at all with the .um overview. I just question that what has it got to do with retirement? Because it's a valid ISO code. It's just simply not being used. It's not being retired in any sense at all.
Well, it was taken out of the root, and that's the point I was trying to make. That's the reason I've considered it now.
Yeah, and the point I'm trying to make is that taking something out of the root isn't retirement.
And I'll be glad to bend to the will of the group. I understand that.
I mean, I'm quite happy to leave it in. It's just that I think it doesn't necessarily add anything, because the rule that you're inferring at 1.3.3.2, if an ISO 3166 has no registrations and the current operator does not wish to continue operating it, ICANN may decide to remove it from the root and place it in. That should perhaps be IANA, by the way, but... that's all perfectly true, but so what?
I agree. It's just that the reason it's there, Nigel, is trying to be, in my mind, I was just trying to be complete and looking at all the things that cause a ccTLD to be removed from the root.
And I'm not asking you to take it out, just to perhaps, you could even make a note that this, strictly speaking, isn't retirement.
I'll be glad to do that part.
Okay.
Okay, and Eberhard has a question as well.
I don't agree with this. The name of this group is DRD or not DRR. It's delegation, redelegation, and deletion, not retirement. I don't think we have only to consider CCTLDs that are coming out of the ISO list. I think this is a valid case for unassigning of a domain name or undelegating or whatever, and I think it's the principle that I mentioned there, that Bernie mentions there, under inferred practice makes sound sense to me, so I think we should leave it in as is.
I don't think there was any question of taking it out. It was just Nigel wanted to be certain that we had a note saying that it's different from a retirement as an undelegation, and I don't have a problem adding a note saying that it is different, because it is. But it's still to be considered under this section.
But from what I read, it is perfectly clear that this is the case. I mean, you can edit. I don't have a problem. My point is that it's perfectly acceptable item under this retirement report.
Thank you, Eberhard. All right, so we have 1-4, 1 again, adding a note. Mr. Chair, would you care to ask the group if we have any more concerns? Right now we have a split.
Any other comments? Any other support for either position? Does that mean the chair might get to use a casting vote? Yap's raised his hand.
I just wanted to say that I'm not sure. I'm getting the feeling that some terms are mixed here. Removal, retirement, and so on. And whether or not the ISO calls it that as well. And I already promised that I would actually send a note to the group about... I will try to find out what exactly the terminology is, what the ISO is using in that case, because I mean that might help.
YAP is looking into gathering up what are the official ISO policies on the retirement of CCTLD, and we'll include that information at the end of the report. I don't think it's going to change the recommendations or significantly alter the facts, but is definitely relevant to the report.
Yeah, and might help with the terminology used in the report.
Thank you. And
I think also it provides a guideline if a PDP is launched to not have to reinvent the wheel and go looking for what ISO's principles and practices are. So I think that will be very handy as a codicil to this report. Thank you, Yap. Okay.
Make a decision, Mr. Chair.
I think leave it as is would be my call.
Okay. Moving on to 134, the .yu retirement, I think we're all fairly familiar with this. I've updated it as per the comments last week, and basically I think it does provide a very telling entry. What we've added is 1344, the September 2009 ICANN board decision to extend the date of the retirement of the .yu. Which is very interesting, and I think what's important to note is that somewhere in the middle in there we've got, furthermore, RNIDS has asked ICANN for better guidance for future on how the process of retiring country code top-level domains should be conducted in the form of clear and transparent rules. And the board bounced that off to the CCNSO, and I guess here we are with this working group. And basically, that completes the things that I could find that generated inferred rules. Is there anything else on Section 1? Not hearing anything. What I do in Section 2, the analysis, I give a summary, summary of current rules, processes, procedures, and we'll add documentation in there to be coherent with the change we'll be making. 2.1.1, there's nothing. 2.2.2, there are some practices, the TL delegation decision of January, the .um on delegation, and the .yu retirement. I'm not going to restate them. They're exactly what was stated in Section 1. Issues. The real basic issue in 221 is there's no policy regarding the retirement of a CCTLD. And the practices up to, that should be three, seem insufficient to properly frame such a critical activity. There is obviously a conflict between 2121 and 2123, where in the .TL decision, the current manager of .TP was sort of given the task of managing the decommissioning of the original CCTLD. And in the case of .YU, there was very strict conditions imposed as to when and how. So obviously practices have evolved within ICANN on how to do this. We've also got in 223, Peter Dengate Trush, I've added the text as per Keith's requirements last week, ICANN director selected by the CCNSO, is sort of saying, you know, I guess if we read between the lines, Peter Dengate Trush is sort of saying, we're making this up as we go at the board. You know, the CCNSO is there to create this policy, and the chair is saying that if there's a policy is required, CCNSO should get on with it. So I guess this is part of the work we're doing here. 224, we've got that requirement from the den manager for real rules for the retirement of CCTLDs. 225, the issue of what happens if the manager is not in agreement with retiring the CCTLD that is no longer listed as an active 3166 is not addressed. So that's a consideration. Application of the practices seems inconsistent when considering the .SU and .TP cases. I haven't gone through the .SU case in Section 1 because there's no relevant documentation. But the point is there is an issue there when considering the rules that are in place and what was done for .YU. 226, in considering the YU-derived practice, the choice of when to begin counting down the two-year decommissioning period was an area of disagreement. Basically, if you go through the documentation, what the then-manager for .YU was saying is the two-year period would have been fine if the two-year period began at the end of the sunrise period for the new domains. But instead, it was the den manager's interpretation, and fairly obvious in the facts, that ICANN started counting down from the date of its decision to delegate the new domains and ask the manager to retire .YU. Finally, in 227, in considering the .UM-derived practice, what would ICANN's position be if the scenario would be similar, but if there were some registrations in the CCTLD. So obviously there are a number of questions and issues from the baggage of stuff that has been used to retire and decommission CCTLDs, which leads us to Section 3, unless there are questions in 2, and I'm trying to get this in under the 90 minutes. I'll beg for maybe a 5-minute extension so we can get this done. Not hearing any questions, I'll move on to 3. What we've done in 3 is at this version of the report is strictly internal to the working group, will not be in the final version of the report, is to present the 3 options. As far as we see it, there are 3 possible recommendations. The current situation is acceptable as is. The situation requires some changes, but does not justify a PDP, or the current situation is unsatisfactory and requires a PDP. Under 3.1, given the 3.1.1, given the retirement of a CCTLD is a rare event, and that there are some current practices, and in fact, the working group could recommend this situation be left as is. Under 3.1.2. The working group feels there are some issues which could be better addressed, but does not feel that these justify a PDP. And under 3.1.3, recommends that there be a PDP. In 3.2, what we provide are some elements for considering these possible choices. ICANN is a policy-based organization. There is no policy on retirement of CCTLDs. The CCNSO is responsible for the development of policies for CCTLDs. The removal of a CCTLD from the route is considered one of the most critical recommendations ICANN can make. The application of current practices is either conflicted or significantly uneven. The .YU manager, having been involved in the retirement of the CCTLD, has made a request for clear rules and transparent. And it would seem logical and critical for the CNSO to undertake a PDP for the retirement of the CCTLD, and the working group should favor this recommendation. And the other parts of the report are just annexes. So I'll take questions and comments on Section 3 at this point and try to wrap it up in the next few minutes.
Okay, any questions, comments, observations?
Yeah, I have one. The reason why they kept that SU running so long is because there's a large number of mobsters who are using that SU who will come by your house if you don't. We need a policy development process. This needs to be done. Bernie is absolutely right. We need to have a PDP so that these things can be done according to transparent rules.
Okay. I guess our next question is, I've taken down the notes, and I'll be ready to produce the next version of the various documents. Keith, I'll turn it over to you. Obviously, we don't have time to go through the delegation report.
Yeah, no, sadly, tonight has taken a bit longer on the reports than we'd anticipated, but I think the discussions is... as always, have been very productive, so I've allowed the discussion to go on. What I had been hoping for and what I'd circulated in terms of future meetings was that our next meeting would be 14 October and to meet every 2 weeks rather than weekly as we'd originally scheduled. But we still have calls... diarised in the ICANN system for every week. What I think I'd like to do is hold over item 5 on tonight's agenda, the draft delegation report, and reinstitute our call for the 7th of October to discuss that specifically. And the other agenda item that I think we would want to add to that would be the final submissions report for publishing on the ICANN website, if we could clear that item as well. So if everyone's reasonably happy with that, I think we should proceed with the meeting for the 7th of October as well as the 14th of October and make whatever progress we can to stay on target, and then resume with the 14th meeting and then 2 weekly thereafter. And I think that'll keep our work on track. Eberhard, did you have something to say?
I don't have the meeting of the 7th on my agenda, and I took it from your last email. My next one is on the 14th, or else it will be midnight of the 15th. I think 2 weekly is enough. I also think we can finalize the item 6 on today's agenda today so that we can get this done.
Oh, okay, yes. No, I was hoping we could quickly get through item 6 in a few minutes. But prior to doing that, I think the other issue in terms of meeting times has been that daylight saving has started in New Zealand very early this year, as in last weekend. So in my blissful ignorance, I hadn't realised that the normal 2 a.m. start time of this call actually became 3 a.m. And I know the rest of the planet starts to move in and out of daylight saving in the next few weeks. So that will upset the meeting timings a little bit in my agenda for this call. I had the proposed times, and I'll try and set a reasonable proposed time for the October 7th meeting and see what we can do. But again, discussion on list, if you can't attend, would be very useful in helping finalise these reports. So if everyone's reasonably happy, could we move on to item 6 and see if we have a resolution on the Eberhardt, Bill Semich and Nigel Roberts issues? And I'd be happy to hear from Eberhardt, and I think Nigel's dropped off the call.
Nigel seems to have left, but I saw an email from Nigel to the group or whatever that he was happy with the way Bernard and I and Bill have and Nigel have done it. I'm happy with the current methodology. As I said, I am very concerned about fundamental fairness in dealing with managers, and as long as we can do that, I have no problem with the methodology. We're looking at what consent means. We have discussed this. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm reasonably fine. I had a short chat with Bill today. He doesn't seem to be too much concerned about this either. Can we please do me one favor? I have diarized the meeting for the 11th of November now on a fixed time, and I really don't want it to be changed time-wise again. If it's during working hours, for me it's extremely difficult to change the time comment again. My patients appreciate this very much when they get phoned 5 times and they tell, and then they know they don't know, they think I don't know what I want. So we must have 5 at a time and stick with it, please.
My apologies. That is my fault.
No, it's not a problem about apologizing. I'm just saying that for the future, we must try and do this. I don't have a problem with past 6. Forget about it.
No, I've carefully worked my diary and checked the times, primarily in Australia, New Zealand, and Los Angeles, for these meetings coming up. So I think the 4 meetings, 14th, 28th of October, and 11th, 25th of November, can remain firmly fixed at those times without causing any significant grief. And I'll work with Christina and Bernie on finding a suitable time for the October 7th meeting, and I'll get something to the list as soon as I possibly can. Okay, so I think we'll take it then that we can drop item 6 from future agendas and consider that the there are no further unresolved issues with Eberhardt, Bill and Nigel, and they can raise any specific issues in context of the documents as they arise. Okay, so moving along, next meeting will now be the 7th of October. I'll get confirmation of the time for that within the next few hours. And the 2 agenda items for that meeting will specifically be Bernie's report circulated on the 30th of September, the final report on submissions for publishing on the ICANN website, and it'll be a first walk through the draft delegation report, which was document 5 for tonight. And then we'll be back on target for October the 14th for finalising the retirement report and look to work towards finalising the delegation report. Okay, if there's... Eberhardt, you have your hand up?
Yes. If there's any changes to any document that we discuss, can we have them at least a few days earlier than this, as I said? I know it's rough on Bernie, but as I said, depending on the time of the meeting, it's very difficult to be able to look at them at an hour when I come home for work, and for others it may be similar.
Yep, taken as read. Thank you, Eberhard. If there's nothing else, my apologies for the slight lateness of this call, going over time. Thank you all for your attendance, and sorry if I appear a bit rambling on and so on, but it's 4:39 a.m. here, and I think I need sleep.
Keith, just one last note. The call on the 7th will be 90 minutes also.
Yes, I think it will need to be. The delegation report is going to be at least an hour on its own, I would think.
Correct.
Okay, I'll get that confirmed to the list as soon as I possibly can. Okay, thank you all for your participation. Thank you for your input. I think we've made significant progress tonight.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Bye. Okay. Bye, mate.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.